that you pray for me as I stand for a little while before you this morning. I did not have a mind when I started talking about Jesus being the way to continue on with these things, but I feel led to. Jesus in John 14, verse 6, said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now this is an extremely big subject about the question, what is life? For us to understand this, I think we need to look at all the angles and try to figure out what's Jesus talking about. What is life? I'm going to make a broad statement and say that Jesus is life. Turn back over to John 1. 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, this is the living Word now, capital W. It's not the written Word. This is the Word. This is the Son of God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That means overpowered it. Comprehended means it doesn't mean that it understood it. It meant that it did not overtake it or overpower it. When you turn a little bitty light on in a dark room, what happens? It illuminates everything. The darkness don't make the light go away. The light makes the darkness go away. I think I said it here when we talked about light, that there's no... there's not a thing called a flash dark. We have flash lights that help us to see, but we don't. There's no thing out there that you turn on to make things, to make light go away and make everything dark, right? He's talking about the creation. John is talking about Jesus being with God the Father in creation. And we know that the Spirit was there because that's what it says in Genesis. The triune God is consistently portrayed throughout the Scriptures. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Not talking about himself, he's talking about Jesus. He's not talking about that all men through John might believe. He's talking about all men through Jesus might believe. He was not that light. He reiterates it. I'm not that light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I love this. I want us to remember now, back in the creation, in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens, or the heaven and the earth. I think it's heavens plural. I can't remember. Let me go over there and read it to be right. The heaven and the earth, singular. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Day one. When did God create the sun? If I'm not mistaken, it was on the third day. At any rate, the light was there before the sun was. S-U-N. So we can go back to Jesus being the life of men and the light of men. And He lights everyone that comes into the world. Now, it's already getting tangled up, ain't it? I'm going to try to untangle it for you. What lights every natural man that is born in this world? What gives him warmth when he walks outside on a sunny day? What gives him light? What gives him light?
The sun.
The sun. The S-U-N that God created up in the firmaments of heaven, that natural light warms the natural man. Amen? Every natural man.
That's right.
That natural light warms every natural man that's born into the natural earth world. What warms, and we know that all the natural things cannot live without light. Right? And there were, if it was day three, I believe he created the trees and the shrubs and all the herb-bearing fruit and things like that, and seed and all that on the second day. I can't remember it, but it was before the sun was created. The light of Jesus Christ sustained that even for a day.
That's correct.
Or two. Now, if the natural sun gives natural light, natural heat, natural warmth, and is needed for the sustaining of natural life on this earth, what in the world is he talking about when he says he was not that light, but that was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world? What's the true light? It's Jesus Christ. It's not saying that the sun is a fake light, but that light's going to be burned up one day, and it can't be said to be true. Like Jesus said, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if that sun is the sustainer of natural life, what is the giver and sustainer of spiritual life? It is the true light, Jesus Christ. He said the light was the life of men, right? So, if man's life is all brought about by Jesus Christ in creation, and and he lighteth every man that comes into the world. What world are we talking about? Every man that's in the natural world is lighted by the sun. The one that's every man that's lighted with his light is in his world.
Amen.
That's in the spiritual realm. Spiritual light, spiritual life comes from Jesus Christ. Natural life comes from Jesus Christ. He created it. He created it. Now, even in the garden, back in the garden, we've got Adam. Y'all know I bring the garden up a lot because if you want to know what somebody really believes about God and man's ability, if you tell me what you believe about what happened in the garden, I can tell you what you believe about salvation and about God, really. You can determine what somebody believes about what they think about what happened in the garden. Now, when God made Adam, created Adam out of the dust of the ground, he formed him first. And before he formed him, God the Father went to Jesus Christ and said, "Let us make man in our image."
That's right.
We're going to make this man in our image. And so God formed him out of the dust of the earth. And what had to happen before Adam ever was able to move or do anything? God had to breathe into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Who acted in that? Who acted in that event?
God
acted in that event. Ask yourself this: what can a dead man do? Because we're talking about life. What can a dead man do? A dead man can't do anything but lay there and rot, is what a dead man can do. He can stink, he can rot, and he can decompose and return to ashes. And in that good state, Adam had the ability to partake of the tree of what? Life. God gave him that option. The only man and woman that were ever in the position to have the option to reach forth and take of the tree of life was Adam and Eve.
That's right.
No one else on God's creation from that day, from that very second, was in the position to partake of the tree of life. What is the tree of life? It's eternal life. It's eternity. It's a blessed state of union with God. And if Adam would have partaken in that, I don't know what would have happened. I can't ask what if. But all I know is that he would have lived eternally in that state. I guess in the garden that God created for him. I don't know. I ponder about that stuff a lot. But the simple fact is, even in that perfect place, being a good man yet susceptible to corruption, but not yet corrupted, In that state, that man did not choose life. He chose death.
That's right.
He chose death. Being a naturally good man, he chose death. Now, what did God do to him because he chose death? Because he ate what God had forbidden him to eat. What happened to him? God drove out the man from the garden. He drove him out. He didn't choose to leave. God drove him out. And what did God do after that? Adam still had to work the land and all that, sweat and all, till the land and keep it. Not the garden because it wasn't in there, but he had to till the land and work. But what did God do after he drove out the man immediately? He set cherubims in the east of Eden. At the gate, I guess. And a flaming sword which turned every way. Every way. I don't know, I've got a picture in my mind's eye of this sword that's moving so fast. In that narrow passageway that leads into the garden, to the tree of life. I've got a picture in my mind that this sword is going around so fast that you can shoot a bullet in it and it cut it in half. I don't know. That's just what I got in my mind. God said that I'm going to keep the way of the tree of life for one purpose. Lest he come up in his situation now and take of the tree of life being a sinner. He wouldn't do it when he was a naturally good man, and he's certainly not going to be allowed to do it as a sinner.
That's right.
God kept and still does keep the way of the tree of life. Jesus is the way. Not long after that, Adam and Eve conceived, and the effects of sin, in a real way, really did start to take effect. What did the first person that was ever born into the world do? He murdered his brother. He took his life. Wasn't long after that where God gave them laws. I mean, wasn't long after that in the scriptures. God gave them laws. And God's serious about it. God said in Genesis chapter 9, I hope this is not too boring for you. But this is very serious stuff that we need to understand before we can get to the good stuff about Jesus being the life. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is after the flood. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl there and upon all that move upon earth and upon all fish of the sea, in your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as a green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. God said that you shouldn't eat things that have the blood still in them. He told Moses, Noah this, long time before he gave Moses the laws about this. What had just happened? Well, I mean, what predicated the flood anyway?
Wickedness.
The results of sin. The results of the fall. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. God left them to themselves, so to speak, and they horribly messed it up. God said, I'm getting rid of them. We're starting over. Starting over with Noah. And God told him, one of the first things God told Noah was that you don't eat blood. Because the life is in the blood. God's so serious about it that he instituted the laws concerning things that were killed. He says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made he man. In the image of God he made he man. God's serious about murder. He's serious about one brother, human being, taking the life of another human being, and the punishment of taking and spilling one man's blood is that his blood be spilled. Serious stuff. God's serious about life, isn't he? Even natural life. He's serious about it. He's serious about life. So then in Leviticus, I want to go over there. Leviticus chapter 17. God declared that the life was in the blood and that we ought not to eat it. I mean, meat has blood in it, right? We're not supposed to, or at least then, they weren't supposed to eat raw meat. Not supposed to eat blood, you're supposed to let it out, blood let it out, let it drain. And then you don't eat it raw. You're supposed to boil it, or you're supposed to cook it, or fry it, or roast it over a fire to get rid of the blood.
Right.
This is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You go to the Passover and you think about how that Passover lamb is supposed to be prepared. Now, 17 and verse, this is Leviticus 17 and verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar. Listen to this. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. God said that. God said, I've done it. To make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Not only is life in the blood, but it takes blood to make an atonement. God said, I've done that for you. Not only did He institute laws of blood sacrifice for atonement, because it requires blood, which is life, to reinstate life or make one at one with God, at one meant, atonement, to make you, to repair the breach, so to speak. He says, therefore I said unto you, children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the... is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no man of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And he goes on. God instituted that sacrifice and the laws about blood and said, no man can eat blood. It is forbidden that any man, whether you're a child of Israel or a sojourner among you, to eat blood. And he says, you're going to be cut off if you do. God told them necessarily and very specifically not to eat blood, but that blood had to be used to atone for sins.
That's right.
What did Jesus say? He said in John, I want to go there because I don't want to mess it up. John 6 and 53. God all through the ages said you shall not eat any blood. He commanded it to be so. And yet Jesus says, talking about the living bread, he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. That's back in 41. And he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. In verse 44. And he talks about in 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They said Moses gave us the bread from heaven. What did Jesus say? No, he didn't. God gave you that bread.
That's right.
God gave that bread from heaven. All Moses did was dispense it out.
That's right.
It came from heaven. But what did that bread do for them? What did that bread do for them? It sustained their life. But after all these thousands of years, around 4,000 years, God commanded them to not eat blood. And Jesus, in verse 53 here, says, said unto these people that were claiming that Moses gave them that bread, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Don't you find that odd? Doesn't that strike you as odd how God is so serious about not eating or drinking the blood or eating the blood of an animal because the life is in it? And then Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you.
That's right.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what can a dead man do? Can a dead man eat? Did Adam breathe life into his own nostrils?
No.
No. God did that. After that initial life, Adam breathed on his own, didn't he? I mean, God set the whole process up, an intricate process that we're just now scratching the surface about understanding. And man became a living soul. Jesus. He makes us alive. Jesus is life. Remember what Romans chapter 5 said about Adam and then Christ. He says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Those that are represented by Adam, every one of them die. Those that are represented by Christ live. Even though I was not in the garden, I did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. I was not in the garden. I did not have the choice to take of the tree of life, and I did not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I was born knowing good and evil. I was born that way. I was conceived that way in sin. It was just as if I had done it because Adam represented me. And when Christ represents us, it's just as if we had done the same thing that Christ did. So in Christ shall all be made alive. And some more. And you, Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath He quickened. What's quickened mean? It means make alive. I've used this 100 times here, I know. My grandma, my mama too, she used to say when she would clip her fingernails and she goes, "Ooh, I got in it quick." That meant that she got them clippers a little too close to the live skin, and when she hit that thing, it hurt. She felt it. It's alive. You take some dead skin and you rub it off and you can't even feel it. A callus, I can take a pin right there and get on my callus and stick it all the way through it and I can't feel it. Why? It's because it's dead. But boy, when you get into the quick, that's when you feel it. And you hath He quickened or made alive. When God breathes into you spiritually the breath of life, you're alive. You are alive.
Amen.
You begin to feel. No, you don't begin to feel. You do feel.
That's right.
You feel. You see. You hear. You understand. You perceive. You smell. You think. These are the things that accompany natural life when we're born, even before we're born, because they've done studies and said babies understand the voice and hear and perceive the voice of their mother and father if they talk to them while they're in the womb. Well, I tell you what, aren't you glad that babies know that? Because when you're spiritually born, you know who your Father is. You know who your Lord is. That's why Paul said, Saul on the road to Damascus, that's why he said, "Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do?" He recognized that he was the Lord, but he didn't know all about Him. But he knew He was the master and controller of his life.
Right.
And Jesus said, "My name's Jesus Christ." How did Paul know that? It's because He made him alive.
Right.
He quickened him. He made him alive. And the response of Saul of Tarsus was the same response that all of God's children ought to have, recognizing Him as Lord and saying, "Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do in your kingdom just because the very fact that you are my Lord?" Jesus is the life. His name is Jesus. He is the life. If you have spiritual life, He gave it to you. Colossians chapter 3. It's so many times in the scriptures that Jesus is equated with life. Colossians chapter 3. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." When Christ, who is our life, get that? Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. The thief on the cross. Come on. Isn't that it? Christ was His life. He did not breathe into His own nostrils the breath of life. Jesus did that.
That's right.
He was quickened on that cross, amen, not by any situation or gumption or ability or function that He had, but Christ was His life. Christ quickened Him on that cross, and then He cried out and He says, "Lord, remember me," because He knew then He has a different home, whereas before He just had an earthly home.
That's right.
He only knew about earthly things. He was up there because of His earthly crimes, and He was punished on the earth. And He will be in glory because of Jesus Christ, who is His life. Man is under the law of sin and death. After the fall of Adam, boy, I'm telling y'all, Romans, it takes us all the way from before the garden on into glory. And it tells us how it comes about.
Right.
Man's under the law of sin and death. But what freed us from that? The law of the Spirit of the life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What made you free from the law of sin and death? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Why do we still die? Why do we still die? Because we're still sinners. But not in God's eyes. That's strange, isn't it? How that we can still be sinners, but God not view us as sinners. You know why? That's because our life is hid with Christ.
That's right.
Our life is hid with Christ. Man, time is gone, isn't it? My goodness. I'm not finished with this by any stretch of the imagination. Lord willing, I'm going to preach about it again next week.
Amen.
I want us to really meditate this week about what it means to be alive in Christ. And I really want you to focus on what He meant there about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. The whole context starts back when He fed the multitudes there in John. Y'all read them 4-7 of John this week. And really focus on Jesus being our life. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to follow after the path of righteousness as Jesus Christ commanded, may the Lord bless you in my prayer.